kids, welcome to another episode of the North and South of Things. Oh my goodness, this time we're going to have to call it the North, South, and West of Things. Joining me today, my co-host, the Laughing Buddha. Mark, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. It's dreary here in St. Paul. We're not quite at spring yet.
About the same here in Atlanta. Mark, who do we have with us today from the great shining West?
Well, we have a very special and honored guest joining us all the way from Vancouver. It's the Faye Driver. Faye Driver, welcome.
Why, thank you very much. Hello, gentlemen. So nice to be on the line with you.
Well, let me tell you, we are very excited to have you. We've been listening with rapt attention about your home selling process. So we understand that you may have to go at a moment's notice if the old phone does the ringy-dingy with a potential buyer on the line.
Yes, my apologies in advance if that should happen. But we're in the middle of some hot and heavy negotiations.
I hope it's going well. These are very uncertain times. I was just talking with Mark pre-show about some of the issues that we're beginning to see in the mortgage markets here, and that are there's some early indication that while publicly lenders are talking about sort of forgiveness or abatement or sort of postponement of mortgage payments, we're hearing some indication that some mortgage companies are tightening up credit. They're shifting to a little more secure stream, part of the credit stream, and sort of those who are on the marginal bubble, but they might still have been able to get a mortgage at some point in the past, maybe shifting a little bit more to a little more rigid. Right. Which is not good for affordable buyers, which is the market I work with. But anyway, many buyers you got on the line right now? How many offers you got?
Well, George, this has been a real roller coaster. Since we listed our house about 3 weeks ago, we have gone through three separate offers. So we've had three potential buyers, and each buyer gets like a kick at the cat, right? So you accept an offer. They have a week to go through their conditions. Some of them are, I need to get financing. I want to do a house inspection, see how badly the house is falling down. So we go through these processes. And then, so we've had three separate buyers take on the offer and then back out for various reasons. Sometimes it's, I can't get the financing. One case it's been, I'm too nervous now. The COVID-19 is escalating. So now we're on our fourth, offer here.
Mark, I don't know if this is the way it is in your market, but in our market, it is not at all unusual for a seller to, certainly in a seller's market, right? It's not at all unusual for a seller to require for you to come to the table with financing already. Is that not the case in your fair neck of the woods in Vancouver?
No, it's fairly typical for looky-loos to come along and go, I want to try and buy this house. You know, some of them have the eyes are bigger than their stomach, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, let's put in an offer and see if we can get it. And then they go to the bank and go through the financing. So it's not typical for someone to already have the money before they come. It's typical for people to do a pre-approval. They may have had a discussion with their bank, and the bank has said, well, you can afford this much. But then when it comes to the actual final sale, they have to go back to the bank and get the actual approval, full approval for the agreed to price. And some of them are failing on that point, right?
Challenging. Mark, are you still thinking about the home condo purchase, or is that sort of on the table now?
I'm going to continue to purge and clean my house and kind of stay on that trajectory, but I really think a concrete deal probably isn't going to happen. I mean, I don't have to move, but it's an option. But like Faye said, here in our market, since everything is so hot, everybody wants to have pre-approvals and financing in place before they do a deal. So our market is a little bit different. Certainly it's cooling now a bit, except for entry-level homes, which mine kind of falls in that category. So when and if the conditions arise to do a good deal, I want to make sure that I have everything in place. However, me actually pulling the trigger, I'm kind of putting things on hold at the moment.
Yeah, it's a lengthy process too. Like even to get a house ready for sale, it can take months. As you say, you're kind of downsizing and dunging out and stuff.
Faye, do you have? I just read an article. It's probably been a month ago now about the sort of the rise of these e-buyers. Is that a thing in Canada or in Vancouver? It's basically people who will buy your house sight unseen. You're obviously going to not get as much as you would for it, given the approach you're taking now. But like that's a whole industry now. I had no idea. I mean, we've seen signs in Atlanta say we buy ugly houses. I've seen those signs forever. Wow. But that company has sort of grown its model into, and there's other places, one called Open Door, I think, where you literally just go online and put in your address and they'll tell you how much they'll pay for your house. I mean, they've got the algorithms and all the data behind it. So they know what max they can pay, but you're going to take easily a 10% bath in terms of what you might be able to get it from the market. But the other thing is there are no showings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we don't. I've not heard of any of this kind of thing happening here. The real estate market in Vancouver is very unique because we had an onslaught of overseas buyers, and there were really lax rules here about who could own property and how it's taxed. And so it's very inviting for an overseas person to park their money, so to speak, in the Vancouver real estate market. And that has really blown the values of housing here in Vancouver out of proportion. And only recently has our government cracked down on this kind of buying situation. So there's a lot more rules now. It's a little more stringent about who can buy a house, and you have to be a Canadian citizen or a landed immigrant. And if you're not, then you're taxed at 25% more than you would normally be, which is already quite high. We don't have this phenomenon in Canada, or at least in Vancouver.
Mm. Well, I want to congratulate all of us. We've been talking for at least 5 minutes and nobody's mentioned the word COVID. So,
yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it?
It is bizarre. My mother, she was kind of not taking it seriously a couple of weeks ago. And I called her the other day and I was like, all right, I got to sort of gird my loins. I'm going to have to, you know, be that annoying son who you need to take this seriously. Well, apparently my younger brother, who lives in the same town with her, has already sort of snapped her into place because she gets it now. And I guess she has been a little bit more in tune with the news and whatnot. And she made an interesting observation that she really hadn't seen anything on this level since the polio scare.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that 1910 or something?
Yeah, I think it was a cure wasn't found until the 40s. So my guess is she probably heard a lot about it because she was born in 41. My guess is I think the cure was in 46. So my guess is it still began to linger. And by the time it got, you know, treatments got to rural America, my guess is they were, you know, she was a young child, 5, 6, 7, 8, still hearing about, you know. Sorry, it sounded like I was just counting off a dance. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, interesting. I know my father, who is in his 80s, he has no concept of it because he has dementia. So he can't remember that there's concerns to be self-isolating and to not be going out all the time. So we have him now. He's staying with my brother now because he just won't stay home, basically. So we've kind of sequestered him away to keep him safe.
How old is your brother?
He is 60 or 61. So it's really changed our lives, like, significantly. And, you know, the Canadian government took early action on having people self-isolate and, you know, providing financial relief in many ways. And sort of almost every couple of days, our Canadian government is announcing more and more solutions to help people who are finding themselves out of work and businesses that can't pay their bills. So we, like you guys in your last episode on the north and south of things, you guys were talking about the proposed or possible $2 trillion stimulus bill that the USA was possibly going to enact.
Yes, which has been
signed
now, so it is law. Still, right. Lots of questions about oversight. Who's going to? I think that's the biggest remaining questions.
Yeah, and also, you know, even though people will be receiving this money, it's not like we can go out and spend it. Everything is closed. You know, I work in transportation. I've kind of got a backdoor view into this situation, and it's not pretty. A lot of shipping companies, yes, they're seeing an uptick in their current business, but you know, that really depends on the health and welfare of the supply chain, and it starts with the driver in the truck. So there's a lot of solutions that we need to come up with, and I know from a regulatory position, a lot of the governance of hours of service on truck drivers, et cetera, that has been waived. And fortunately, we're still being able to transport goods and services across the country and to do it safely and efficiently. And that's largely due to the fact that there's not a lot of traffic that is happening right now. So, you know, it's a complex interwoven problem that has no easy solutions. And I fear that our current government just isn't up to the competency of this task. Certainly not inspiring confidence in me.
No, granted, it's challenging and there's not an immediate parallel to draw on for how there's not a roadmap for how to do this. So it's easy to be critical, especially when you make absurd comments behind the podium. But in the best scenario, under the best leadership, it would be challenging. So yeah, it's a little frightening. Faye, are you, what's the state of Vancouver's sort of, is it a mandatory quarantine, lockdown, sort of voluntary self-isolation?
Well, we right now we're under recommended self-isolation. There's no, you can't be fined or arrested, although certain businesses have been fined, had their business licenses suspended for continuing to I'm talking about restaurant, in one particular case, a restaurant that has not closed, and we're now in a state of emergency. We had a public health emergency declared about a week ago from this recording. And then a few days after that, we've had an actual provincial state of emergency enacted, which now causes all community centers to be closed and gives the government the right to take over any of the community properties or anybody's personal property in the aid of dealing with the emergency. So we could take an ice rink or a community center over if we needed hospitalization or something like that, right? So although we have these declared states of emergency, we no one's being fined for going out, but by and large, we're being very responsible, I think, in maintaining our social distancing and all the restaurants are closed and things like that. So, you know, it's happening. I'm going to check my messages, boys. I'll be offline for a bit.
Okay.
All right.
Mark, what's the state of affairs in Minnesota?
Governor Walz, who is a Democratic governor here in the state of Minnesota, has issued what's called a shelter-in-place order effective. It went into effect at 11:59 p.m. on Friday and is in effect until April 10th. So everyone is staying in their homes. Now, they can go outside, take exercise, go into nature, that sort of thing. However, any sort of congregating is not allowed. All restaurants and bars are closed, except for those that are able to do curbside pickup or delivery. That's still happening. Grocery stores, banks, essential personnel like firefighters, medical people, and that sort of thing, they can still go to work. Grocery stores are open, so if you do need to go out and get food or supplies, you can do that. Social distancing is very much in effect. I'm hearing reports from other people that there are actually tape lines at my current co-op that is keeping everyone at least 6 feet apart.
And that's for the most part, at our grocery as well.
Yeah. And when I was there on, I went to the grocery store on Friday. There's not a lot of people out. People are kind of staying at home. Minnesotans are really good at following the rules. It's something that we do. And there is a sense of community here where everyone is thinking about other people, which is kind of a breath of fresh air, actually. You know, we're sticking together. We're going to get through this together. Now, bars and restaurants and that sort of thing are actually going to be closed through May 1st. Governor Walz has put into place these orders to kind of slow the spread of the virus and also give us time to ramp up our medical response, because the numbers and the data modeling is, you know, there's going to be a surge. So we are doing our best to flatten the curve to make sure that our healthcare system is able to respond. There's very detailed plans going forward. Schools will be on distance learning starting, I believe, April 7th. And he hasn't made a decision whether he's going to cancel the rest of the school year, but students will not be in school. They'll be doing distance learning. So our state government has been really good at its response. And what we are hoping is that by April 10th, we will be able to see if the social distancing is having an effect. And then plans will be going forward from there.
So all of our countries or all of our distinct regions have been essentially doing the same type of actions. You know, we're doing the same thing here in Canada as you guys are doing there. We have the orders from the state legislators closing the restaurants. We're doing our social distancing. Essential services are remaining open. My question is, how long do you think that we, the general public, are going to tolerate having to maintain social distancing and not being able to go to our bars and not going to Garth Brooks concerts and things like that? When do you think we're going to lose our shit and say, to hell with it, I'm going out?
You know, about 4:30 today.
Well, you know, and our governor has said as much. He said, this cannot be a long-term solution. It's not realistic, but he is trying to weigh all of the data. He's very plugged into the numbers and the science that is emerging. You know, we have the Mayo Clinic, which is one of the finest medical institutions in the country here. And, you know, we also have Medtronic, which is the largest manufacturer of ventilators in the region, and I think across America, if I'm not mistaken. We also have 3M Corporation, who manufactures N95 masks. We're all aware of what those are. There's also reports of a kayak manufacturer going and retooling and starting to manufacture face masks for PPE for the medical institutions. And we're doing a lot of this creative thing, but Walls has said that there's going to come a time where we're going to have to relax the social distancing because that's not sustainable. So whether that's through April or into May, I don't really see us doing this for an extended period of time. I just don't think it's sustainable.
Right. I agree.
I think people will be somewhat patient through April, depending on what we know definitively around early May, the data tells us. I think potentially if people are like, this is working, but we need to do it for another month to really flatten the curve, I think people will be a bit more open to continuing that. I wish they would just sort of start working that in everyone's mind. Listen, we need to be on this path for 2 months, not 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right?
We need to just get yourself settled, go get your monitors from your work, you know, do whatever it is you need to do. Just make plans for a couple months just to really sort of let this work itself out. I mean, looking at what's going on in New York should tell you what's going to happen if we don't be attentive to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It has a lot to do with, you know, population density as well. You know, New York is a good example of what can happen in any major metropolitan area without proper precautions and a plan in place. And, you know, my work at home has been extended all the way through April, and it may go longer. But that's the plan, and that plan is communicated. And so far, my employer has been fairly well at, you know, supporting that decision and also getting everyone what they need in order to make that happen.
What are you guys doing, Faye? We talked about this on our last episode, so maybe we'll start with you. What are you doing to cope? I mean, you're still able to get out and drive a little bit, right? So you can do that socially, you know, right. Social distancing with your own drive. What else are you and Mr. Anderson doing to cope?
Well, we've actually been quite busy, to be honest. So like here within our own house, we're packing and cleaning and throwing things away. And, you know, we're getting our house ready for presentation for showings and things like that. And so for me, my lifestyle hasn't changed very much other than my ability to not be able to work. So, you know, when I go to work, I'm out in the community visiting buildings and meeting with people and dealing face to face with the public a whole lot. And we've cut all of that out. So my work life is considerably different now. You know, we're kind of doing make work projects and things like that. So the only difficult thing, one of the more difficult things is actually being cooped up in your house with your husband for now 3 weeks straight. You know, this is, and not that it's a bad thing, but I recognize that, you know, we've been here in this house together for 3 weeks, sort of nonstop. And so that's an aspect. It's not necessarily bad, but we do need to sort of adjust the way, sometimes we need to adjust the way we speak to each other. And I have to say, we're actually becoming more close to each other and are gaining a better understanding of our each of our personalities, I think.
Yeah, there was an NPR story specifically on this topic. And I think a writer for The Atlantic or maybe The New Yorker asked people to send in their incubation stories about how this is like, oh, I really have not spent that much time with you over a long period of time. And I find you quite annoying, actually.
Right. Yeah. I would like to say, though, that, you know, in the large part, we've found ways, our society here in this social distancing atmosphere, we have still managed to find ways to continue to do the necessities of life. We are still able to get groceries. We're finding other ways to conduct business. So I would like to say I'm impressed with the resiliency of the nature of the human being, and our desire to want to accommodate each other in order to, I guess, fulfill certain tasks, right? Aside from the fact that our restaurants are all failing and probably hurting, and that's restaurant and tourism is a huge part of our economic backbone, right? So,
yeah,
this is one sad part of where many people are suffering in that regard. But
I have to say, one of the interesting thing that's come out of this, there's actually a Daily Mail article about Atlanta and Vancouver making some noise. I thought it was something that we started, but I don't know who started it, but something called Solidarity at 8, hashtag Solidarity at and the number 8. Mm-hmm. Apparently people are going out on their back. We're doing this here in Midtown, and it's kind of spread all over Atlanta now, I think. At 8 p.m. every day, we sort of go out and just sort of cheer and make some noise. It's around the shift change for the local healthcare workers. But it's sort of evolved into just sort of an appreciation for anybody who's sort of on the front lines of this, the transit workers, the transportation industry, who's sort of still getting food and products to places. But certainly the healthcare workers who are working often with not enough personal protective equipment, sort of a way to acknowledge and recognize them. Mark, are you seeing any of this in your neck of the woods?
I haven't as of yet. You know, our cities are, you know, St. Paul has a market downtown, but I haven't seen anybody doing that yet. But I can imagine that sort of thing might be happening the longer this goes around. I know people are fairly polite when they're out and about, and I'm making a point of saying thank you to the people that I interact with, because I do appreciate their sacrifice. Some of the companies' responses that have been happening is, you know, I think it was Target issued an immediate $2 an hour kind of hazard pay bonus.
Oh, wow.
To workers. So there has been some response in that way. Of course, something cropped up on my timeline yesterday, late last night, as a matter of fact, where there's a company, it's called Instacart. And it's a company, it's basically Uber delivery, you know,
yep.
Different retailers and that sort of thing, grocery delivery. And they're planning actually a strike for tomorrow in response to the company's lack of cleanliness standards and not supplying cleaning supplies to their workers. So I'm kind of watching that sort of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I use them from time to time to order groceries from Publix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. It does feel like there's an air. I agree with both of you. It does feel like there's an air of we're in this together, that people are genuinely a bit more polite and thoughtful, and it's a neat feeling. I also like how we are harnessing technology. Finally, we're using it for good, you know, right. Whether it's these virtual happy hours. Mark, you mentioned that last week. Some of my friends, we spoke Friday afternoon, ish, five ish, and had a Zoom session too. It's kind of neat. It feels like we're in a very unusual place, very unprecedented place, maybe not unprecedented compared to other plagues and other sort of mass pandemic issues. But for current history, it's fairly unprecedented, and people seem to be doing well. What do you think, a long phase question, I worry about the smaller populated states and countries who are struggling already, you know, and what is this going to mean for some of those states and nations that have even poorer infrastructure than the systems we have, which are not perfect by any stretch, but. They're still supporting our populations somewhat well if you have insurance, if you have, you know, whatnot. What do you guys think about some of these other nations in particular?
You know, I have really made a point to be cognizant of my news consumption because I know my own personality, and that has caused me to make a decision and a choice that I'm following my local news. So I really don't know what's going to happen on other countries. I get a little here and there from my Twitter feed because I've got some friends who are in Dublin, for example. So I kind of know what the Irish response has been. It's hard to say.
Mm. Yeah, I think we you know, from my own perspective, I'm basically relying on my government to provide aid to any of those countries that aren't able to support themselves. And I know Canada does have, you know, various aid partners that we're assisting. But yeah, honestly, I feel like I'm living a selfish life right now, right? I'm looking after myself. I'm looking after my own family. And that's at the moment, that's all I can really contemplate, right? But I know,
yeah,
there's
it is what they've asked us to do, right? Just stay at home, take care of yourselves, take care of your families. Right. There's not a lot. The larger nations will have to, I think, pitch in. Hopefully, some of the less developed countries are actually able to learn from the mistakes we're making in terms of if it's not hit your country as hard yet. They're learning from what is and is not working. Germany struck me as odd this morning when I looked at their confirmed cases versus their deaths. They've had 60,000. So they're in the top five. They're number five in terms of number of confirmed cases. But they've only had 482 deaths, and all the other top five have 3,000, 6,000, 10,000, 2,000. So Germany's got high net incident rate, but fairly low, comparatively, fairly low death rate. So I talked to a friend of mine who's got some German roots, and he speaks German. He goes, well, they're pretty healthy people too. Right. And I think that's probably true. There may not be as many as underlying issues. With the possible exception of Oktoberfest, but we're not, we're well beyond Oktoberfest at this point on the calendar. But yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm.
We've also noted here in my country, Canada, the treatment regimes have changed a little bit too. Now that we've had people going through the the medical system who are coming through the other end. They've contracted COVID-19. They've worked through it. I'm talking about the severe cases that are hospitalized. We're finding new tweaks to how we're treating them here. We're treating them quickly with ventilators, finding that putting people on a ventilator early rather than at the as a last resort helps people get through it quicker, and then they're out of the hospital system quicker. So, you know, we're working, we're learning, and we're resolving, and we're working through it, right? So there's a bit of hope. There's a bit of hope. So
yeah, I'm stunned to hear that. I mean, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So Eric Dyson, the vacuum cleaner guy, has made a ventilator model and is, I think, in production of 15,000 units, or has a plan for such. That's fascinating to me. It does seem like out of a storm, there's always silver linings to the issue, in terms of new processes, new procedures, new equipment. We'll see. I know that they have finally, the president has finally invoked the Defense Production Act and has asked GM to start manufacturing ventilators, which they say they were doing anyway. But anyway, so hopefully we can start cranking those out and getting those out to people in larger numbers.
Yeah.
What's up in the week ahead for you guys, Mark?
Well, I am looking forward to another virtual happy hour with friends on Wednesday. That's happening. I'm hoping the weather turns. It's been pretty dreary the last couple of days with lots of rain. As a matter of fact, we had hail yesterday. That was fun.
Nice. So
I'm hoping for some nicer weather. I'd like to get my bicycle out. And I've also started some container gardening. And I'm going to be planting some lettuce this afternoon. So that's kind of my week.
What is container gardening?
Basically using pots for plants rather than actually planting them in the ground, because the ground here is still pretty frozen. So basically starting things indoors, both
got it,
being able to raise it indoors and also transplant when the weather gets nicer.
Thinking ahead. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, as far as work is concerned, we're wrapping up our month. It's going to be a little quiet starting April 1st through that following Monday, because we've got various processes that won't be complete. But we're looking forward to a busy and focused month ahead.
Sounds good. Faye, what's going on with you, other than closing that sale on your home?
Right. Yes. Well, I'm about 31 days to the final day of work for me, after which I will be retired, air quotes, retired.
Yay. Yay. So, air quotes, retired. Got it.
I only say that because I'm not 65, you know, I'm not like putting my feet up and getting my walker out. So my challenge is that I have about 4 retirement parties that I was intending to plan and have. But it's very difficult to plan a retirement party when you're told you can't have gatherings of more than 10 people or less, right? So I have to resolve that in some way.
So now I just heard a caveat to that rule. So apparently Georgia has said there cannot be any events over 10 where the space does not allow you to be 6 feet apart. So if you want to hold your party like on a football field and just spread people out 6 feet apart, would that work?
I suppose. So what kind of fun would that be? That's not the kind of party I'm talking about. No.
Okay. Then. All right.
Yeah. No.
Faye,
I know.
Are you a hugger?
Yeah, definitely.
Are you a hugger, Faye?
So, yeah, you know, for me, I'm going to go back to work next week. The only, I mean, I don't know. Just get through the week. I'm feeling like, I feel like I'm prepared to socially isolate and do what I'm doing for another 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, there's going to need to be some changes, I think. I don't know. I don't know how much longer I can tolerate, you know, maintaining 6 foot distance from my coworkers and not being allowed to go places and do things. It's going to start grating on my soul, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I enjoy my own company, but that's when I had the option of getting together with people if I wanted to. And I don't have that. So I'm talking to my cat a lot.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, yesterday I've also kind of slipped into sort of the drama persona and started coming up with characters and doing silly voices. Send help.
Right. I just want you to know you can call me anytime.
Thanks, George. I will take you up on that. I have been doing a lot of phone calls. I had gone to like averaging 20 minutes a month on the phone to the last time I checked, which was 244 minutes. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
I also...
Well, I kind of enjoy the little video, you know, whether it's Zoom or FaceTime. I mean, it requires you to put on clothes, but other than that, it's, you know.
Right. I think something maybe I know we're coming down to the close of the show here, but something we also need to consider is that we are going to be depressed. We're going to be angry. We're going to have all kinds of feelings. Because as we sit in isolation, so to speak, we have less opportunity to network with people and to share our feelings. And I think we should recognize and we should be prepared that we're going to experience these things, you know, maybe the five stages of grief, so to speak. And this is something that I recognize that, you know, sometimes Mr. Anderson and I are a little angry. Like we're feeling very angry right now over the last few days. And it's not because we have anything to be angry about, but I think we're experiencing now the piling on of all of the experiences over the last few weeks. And
I mean, trying to deal with the pandemic itself is stressful. Adding a home sale on top of that, that's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot to ask somebody to contend with, especially that cycle of offer, fail. Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to leave us with the fact that we need to recognize that we're going to have an emotional response to the situation that we're in, and that we should recognize that it's okay. It's our brain is looking after ourselves. And, you know, sometimes we have to have an endorphin flush of some sort, whether it's a fit of rage or a good cry, or
go out on your balcony or stoop and scream, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that we will get through it. Right.
Yeah, I agree. Mark, you are our king of self-care. So why don't you take us out this episode with maybe some thoughts on self-care, totally unplanned and putting you on the spot.
Well, I have actually approached things what I'm calling my four pillars of focus right now. And that first one is nutrition. So eat your fruits and vegetables. So nutrition is number one. Exercise is number two. The third one is, the fourth one is mental and emotional health. So you know, use your resources. I know for myself and my current employer, we have our employee assistance program. So reach out. There are people there that can help you. I know I'm relying heavily on my friends. We have very frank and open conversations. I think you need to create spaces for that to happen and really just check on each other. You know, meditation is another form that I use to try and give myself a grounding.
Hey, Mark, because was work-life balance number three by any chance? Nutrition, exercise, and mental and emotional. I don't know.
I can't remember what the third one is. It'll come to me as soon as this is maybe over, I'm sure.
Maybe it's cocktails?
Mm-hmm. No, actually, I'm finding out that alcohol consumption actually suppresses the immune system, so you might want to monitor that. Mm-hmm. So
scandalous.
Yeah, I know. I'm not replenishing. When things run out, they're going to be out, I think, for a while.
Mm-hmm. Faye, do you subscribe to this self-care notion? If so, how do you keep it clean? How do you how do you take care of oneself?
Yeah, it's, you know,
you that wide open. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, you guys were talking in your last episode about how you were eating. You found yourself. Well, I know George, you were talking about snacking a lot.
Yes.
And you had to put the brakes on that one. Yeah, and I agree. I've been experiencing the same thing. I'm doing this eating too much type of a thing. But yeah, I agree. We need to concentrate on our own health right now, especially because, you know, we're not immune to this COVID-19 disease, and you could contract it. And for all I know, I may have already had it. It may have gone through me, and I'm back through the other side. But, you know, we have to stay healthy. I think the other thing I'd like to leave us with is that we can't always be thinking about COVID-19. We have to turn it off from time to time and find a safe space away from what's happening. So I would say that, like, just, you know, you don't have to watch the news 24 hours a day, and it's okay to indulge in some things that remove you from the situation you're in for short periods of time.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Faye, thanks for joining us this week. Good to check in with you and hear your voice. We're listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, of course. And if you're not, you should be listening to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, or follow Faye on Twitter at Faye Driver. Thanks so much for joining us. Mark, have a great week. I'm happy to report I have backed away from the snacks. It's been a good week. I've had lots of exercise, so I've actually lost a few pounds. Gotta keep that up.
Congratulations.
All right. Well, we'll continue to keep in touch, and we'll talk soon. Everyone hang in there. We're going to get through this together. So take care.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.